I would like to thank the PPRC for their kindness during this transitional time, and for Larry and for the choir and their support here this morning, and for you for being here on what would otherwise be your vacation. It is a good day to be in God's house, and it's a good day and a great day to be at Main Street, and I am thrilled to be your pastor and to come back into the part of the country that I left about 13 years ago when I left the Spartanburg district and went down to Walterboro. And I've been down there for the last 13 years, and so now I'm back up here, and I'm at a place that my wife didn't know where all the shortcuts are. She knows all the shortcuts in the PD area, and we'd be going places, and she would say, "Oh, I forgot. You didn't know your way. I didn't forget." And so now I'm telling her about Mountville, Cross Hill, Hodges. These are places she's never heard of. So it is good to be here. And I look out and see some friendly faces. And one of my very dear friends from high school, Don and Linda Swigert, are here. And it's so good to see them. 234 years ago, July the 4th, 1776, King George III wrote in his journal, "Nothing of any major importance occurred today." I was sharing that with one of my friends as we were walking the corridors at Florence at the Civic Center, and I guess this is Radlin. I might can fix it. And I said to him, I said, "You know what King George wrote?" And I told him what I just told you, and he said, "Boy, he could have used the internet, couldn't he?" Sort of tells you how we Methodist ministers think these days, doesn't it? And as I read the volumes of David Ramsey, a historian who wrote about the American Revolution during the time of the American Revolution, a historian during those days. And I looked at my wife after I'd been reading for numerous pages, and I said, "I sure will be glad when we win a battle." Because as I read this volume, these volumes again, and in my mind went back to those days when our country was being formed, and was confronted again with the reality of what we did not have. We did not have a trained army. We did not have designated leaders. We did not have a national monetary system where our soldiers could be effectively paid. We did not have a good supply system. We did not have a navy. And we, our foreparents, chose to take a stand for liberty. It was a big question. Will we break away from that source, our mother country, and fight against them, against the greatest military power, one of the greatest, at least, of that day, England and France? And it was a choice that was made. And as I read Edgar Walter's books about the American Revolution in this part of South Carolina, I realized again that there really wasn't that much of a resistance. Charleston fell very handily into the hands of the British. They advanced to Camden, and there made a crucial mistake. because it was said to them that if you would not take up arms against England, that they would honor that and would not come in and take away your farm animals and your cotton and your indigo and your tobacco. That they would leave you to support your family and just don't take up arms against them again. Everybody, most of the people, Charleston, said, okay, that'll work. And then in Camden, the decision was made at the departure of the British forces to burn it. And started the first scorched earth policy in North America. We know about the second one, but this was the first one. They were taking from the farmers. They were not able to keep their word, and they were the best paid, best trained, best supplied army in the continent. And something happened in Backwoods, South Carolina. The British government lost the heart of the frontier American. And so when we look at all that we did not have and what we were not able to provide, one thing that we did have is heart. And when you think about our country, and you think about our past, and you think about Pearl Harbor and those other times that we were not prepared and that we were not ready, the heart of the American people is what has come forward. And you see, I think that parallels with us as Gentile Christians. You look at all the things in the Christian lineage that we did not have. We did not and do not have the heritage of Judaism. We do not have the sacraments as a part of our lineage. But Paul, writing about us, says that we who were separated from the commonwealth of Israel, we who were without hope and without God in the world, that God looked upon us and loved us and grafted us in. We were helpless and hopeless and lost. And I guess you could say that we didn't have heart either. But God had heart. God had heart in that He sent the best that heaven had to offer. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem lost humanity. Yesterday, watching the History Channel, I became aware again of George Washington and his sacrifice, and at Yorktown, the last thing that his son wanted to do was to go and to fight with his father, and so George surrendered, and his son, his only son, died as a result of being there in the camp at Yorktown. We too can think about our sacrifices. I've always considered it an honor to talk to those old veterans that were in the churches that I pastored, those that survived Bataan Death March and were a part of the Normandy invasion. And I've sat down and talked with them many times, and I would say to them, "How did you survive?" And they would say, "By luck." A lot of men just as good as me didn't make it. Others would say, by my prayers. And just last week, I stood at the grave of one of my former parishioners, and we pulled out the 91st Psalm. The Lord is my refuge. And that was the psalm that he carried all during World War II, and carried it until the very day that he died, putting his trust in God. So in the passages of Scripture that we have read this morning from Galatians, and we hear that statement about freedom, and we understand that the freedom that we have is not free, that it has cost. My mother told me about my uncle who died at Guadalcanal. But the stories that they tell are not near to be compared to the story of our redemption through Jesus Christ. When you and I were sinless, sinful, when we were separated from God, God loved us. As I think about who we are and who I am as a child of God, as a United Methodist minister, I realize I'm a sojourner. I join hands with Abraham and with those other patriarchs of old, journeying a life of commitment to God. The first day that I entered the ministry, we had practically everything that we owned in the back of a pickup truck. It took a Smith Dreyline's van to move us this time. Truck, 18-wheeler. I looked out front and said, why did they send that big thing? But they did. I guess they moved a lot of ministers. Maybe they had more than one minister they were going to put on that truck. I don't know. It was sure bigger than a pickup truck. But I remember traveling in that pickup truck and looking down at the highway and seeing those white lines in the road just flipping by. And I looked at the guy that was driving and I said, you know, I don't really know exactly where I'm going. Oh, I knew the town where I was going, but I knew that I had committed my life to service and ministry, and I had no idea where I was going to wind up. And when I sat down with my DS a few months ago now, and she said, Terry, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. And she said, you better be making up your mind. And so I went back later and told her, I said, I think it's time for us to move. It's a journey of faith and commitment. And as we read this passage of Scripture in Galatians, it tells us about the type of heart not to have. And it also tells us the type of heart that we should have. And so I ask you, Main Street United Methodist Church, you have a wonderful past. You have a phenomenal story of faith and hope and love. Tell me about your heart now. Our soldiers are fighting on foreign battlefields at this very moment. We have an offer to Iraq and to Afghanistan that if you have heart, we will come. Whether you agree with it or not, this is what has happened. We have gone and we have fought, and our men and women have died. And the question that we'll be looking to them is saying, will you protect your freedom? Will you take advantage of what's being offered to you? And Christ comes to us today as Christians and says to us, will you take this message of the gospel wherever? Will you share this fabulous freedom that you have in Jesus Christ with those who are in bondage? With those who have no hope? Will you take this gospel beyond the four walls of this church and share it with those you come in contact with? Is this fabulous freedom that we have achieved and been given to us worth you taking up your cross, as Jesus said, and following Him? The freedom that we enjoy this day, the Statue of Liberty holds up the torch there in the harbor and says, send me those that want to breathe free. This morning as I lay in my bed, I took a deep breath of freedom. And I thought to myself, can I breathe freedom? And I breathed it. I said, yes. Can I feel freedom? Yes. Can I participate in freedom? Yes. And this morning, as Americans, because of the past, we're free. But we have a much greater freedom. And that's what Paul was talking about as he faced the Roman Empire. He said there's a freedom greater than the powers of the Roman Empire. And it's the freedom that God gives us through His Son, Jesus Christ. As we stand with our toes in freedom's great land, what are you going to do with this Christian freedom that God has given you and me?